If you're new here, you're especially welcome. If you've only come a few times, we remind you that these evenings are very much about seeking to provide a place where God can feel at home. That's the simple philosophy behind them, to provide a place where God can feel at home. And we seek to just each time listen to what the Lord wants to say and what he wants to do, and cooperate with him in that process, partner with him in that process. I want to read to you a few verses from various places in the Bible. You can follow them if you wish to. If it's easier just to listen, then that's great. I can assure you they are from the Bible. In the book of Deuteronomy, where the Ten Commandments are given, and then various other laws, at one point in Deuteronomy 8, we hear these words: "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert, those 40 years, to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." In Deuteronomy 29, it adds, just out of interest, that not only was it that their clothes didn't wear out, but the sandals on their feet didn't wear out either. One pair of sandals, 40 years. Do you figure there might be something miraculous going on there? And in Nehemiah 9, verse 12, where they are reminding themselves of their history and all that God has done, you read these words: "By day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the way that they were to take." And there you hear words that at times we find hard: humbling us, testing us, finding what's in your heart. But also words that are amazing about provision, about protection, about guidance. And that God's intent in all of this was to bring people to a place of assurance that they knew that they belonged to him. And maturity, being disciplined as a father disciplines a son, to bring them to maturity of dependence, to know that it wasn't just about those practical things, but that they could trust God's word, and so dependence and trust, wholeheartedness and wholeness. It was about taking them into the promised land. And when we read those words, you read about, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. You're very familiar with those words. Most folk are. Yeah, we know how that happened. We've read about it. It was part of our Sunday school stories. But so often we don't get into what that was really like. I want you to imagine you've just set up camp. You have unpacked everything. And for the wives, the constant camping would not have been a joy and a blessing. You've just set it all up. You've got all the stuff out. You've fed the kids manna again. What do you do with manna? Cooked, fried, boiled, poached. You begin to run out of options. You've got the kids off to sleep. And then the word comes down the line of tents. Pillar of fire on the move. How are you going to feel? What a blessing. The pillar of fire is on the move again. There's going to be some, why again at night when it's cold? Why when I've just unpacked everything? Why when we've just got the kids off to sleep and Jacob is teething? Why now? It's nice here. We just got settled. Or imagine the scene. They are settled, but they're settled in a place where they have to walk a fair distance for water. They're settled in a place where it's really hot and the kids are screaming and the kids are bored and they haven't even heard of DVDs yet. And they're watching and they're waiting and the pillar just ain't moving. Why here? Why the wait? Let's go. Let's move. There's nothing here for us. It's horrible here. We're not settled. For the people, there would be a tendency for them to think mostly about their current circumstances, while God was thinking about where he was taking them on this journey, both physically and spiritually. And there's a couple of things out of that. The first is this. We get settled. There's a tendency for us to find security in places, in ways of doing things, in ways of understanding things, in a certain group of people who we feel comfortable with. There's a tendency for us to resist change, the new, the unknown, the uncertain. And that can lead us to places of complacency. And that can lead us to places of fear. But the trouble is, when we settle, we pretty much always settle for less. When we settle, we pretty much always settle for less than God has got for us. And we focus on what we believe we have and not losing it. Whether it's the house or the job or the friends or the church or the routines or the systems that can end up being our security. We find false security in stuff that brings no real security, but doesn't leave room for the real security that God wants to bring. That was quite complicated. Shall I say it again? We find false security in stuff that gives no real security, but leaves no room to find true security in what he wants to give. And so we miss out on the new things God's doing in us, through us. We miss out on the new things God wants to teach us. The pillar of fire is on the move, and we're fighting to stay. But the journey isn't over yet. There's so much more to enjoy, because God is about the promised land. We get unsettled. We're frustrated. We are restless. We're in a place that we don't like and we don't enjoy, and we want it to go away now. And that can lead us to struggling to trust, to be patient, struggling to see any good. But there's a danger in being unsettled that takes us away from what God is doing in us. That he wants to change us, not just our circumstances. Because wherever we go, there we are. And wherever a restless, broken person goes, and however they change their circumstances, they turn up being restless and broken somewhere else. We focus on what we believe we lack, and we don't want to miss out on the new stuff. And the enemy will always try to use our circumstances to his destructive ends. Try to get us to run away from relationships. Try to get us to cover up, not face up. To run away from our pain and our brokenness. To cover up, not face up. New things, new distractions, anything but what we really need. Restlessness, restlessness. And so we miss out on the wholeness and the healing that God is bringing to us and that God wants to bring through us. We miss out on the new things he wants to teach us in that place where we apparently aren't moving. The pillar of cloud is at rest and we're fighting to move. But the wait isn't over yet because we're being prepared for the promised land. So far, so good. What about when it's both? What about when we are desperately unsettled and we want it to change, but we absolutely don't want God to do some of the things that he's going to have to do for it to change? We don't want it to move and we don't want it to stay. So we shouldn't become settled and we shouldn't become unsettled. Doesn't that leave us between a rock and a hard place? Doesn't that leave us clobbered for being passive and clobbered for being active? It's about peace and trust, which bring rest that's way beyond sleep. Some of us can never get enough sleep to be at rest, because it isn't sleep that we need. We need some. It's peace we need. It's not about focusing on maintaining what we have. It's not about focusing on attaining what we lack. It's about focusing on what he's doing and partnering with him in it. There are times when it feels like we're stuck. There are times when it feels like we're going too fast. But God is taking us on a journey out of the wilderness into the promised land. And peace and trust will make all the difference to the journey. He humbles us. He tests us. He wants to know what's in our heart. And that can sound harsh and hard and unloving if we don't understand the goodness of God. But he wants to bring us to a place of assurance and a place of maturity. He wants to bring us to a place of dependence and a place of trust. He wants to bring us to a place of wholeheartedness and a place of wholeness. And all the time, there is provision, there is protection, there is guidance. When the enemy tests us, and when God tests us, there is one significant difference. The enemy wants us to fail the test, and God wants us to pass it. And in addition to that, God lets us keep on taking the test until we pass it. And some of us have been taking the same test for many, 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 many years. And we go, what are you doing, God? What are you playing at? Why do you bring me back to this point time after time after time after time after time? Do you not love me? He goes, I want you to pass the test. And I love you so much, I've given you 175 opportunities. How's about partnering with me in passing the test? And peace and trust looks like not settling, not striving, but following. When he calls us to move, when he says go, that we go. We don't lag behind. We don't argue. We don't take our own sweet time. And when he calls us to stay and says wait, we don't keep straining at the leash and believing that this time of waiting is about God not being able to hear us or God not caring. We move beyond the fear of the new and the uncertain and beyond the frustration of the difficult and painful. And then we ask him, what are you teaching us? Then we find out what's in our hearts, where we need to be humbled, where we need to learn trust and dependence and wholeheartedness. Cooperating with God from a place of peace and trust and rest, so that he can take us into the promised land, so that he can give to us and let us be part of more of heaven on earth, and so that it doesn't have to take 40 years. Now, I can't give you all the answers to seeing and hearing from God more clearly. I can give you some, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. I can't give them all. But I can say that fear and unbelief and complacency and apathy and restlessness and impatience will inevitably make the process of hearing from God harder. And I can say that peace and trust and rest and godliness with contentment will inevitably make the process easier. And that God will provide and teach and guide, that he will humble and test when he needs to, because he's a perfect father who disciplines his children to bring them to maturity. Because he's interested in something far bigger than our current comfort. And he's interested in something far bigger than our current convenience. God is not an open all hours convenience store. He does provide all that we need. But he wants us to experience the promised land and to not make do with something else and call that the promised land. Because in the end, it won't satisfy us and it won't fool anyone. And one of the troubles in the church is that at times we've said to people, come on in and join us in the promised land. And they've had a look and they've said, if this is the promised land, we don't fancy this much. We'll go somewhere else. And I believe that tonight, that as we minister to God in worship, as we tell Jesus how much we love him, as we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit among us, as we do that, that God wants to minister to us. Because he said so. So there. And it's not about taking stands against stuff tonight. It's not about going after stuff tonight. It's about finding a place of peace and trust and rest in worship. It's allowing God to deal with the stuff that gets in the way as we focus on him and his utter goodness and his utter love. Now, I believe that for some tonight, you will experience emotional healing as you do that. I believe that for some, the frustration and impatience will drain away. I believe that for some, you will be able to be freed from fear and moved into faith. And it's not that we're going to make big declarations, but it's that God is going to meet us as we worship him and as we declare our trust, as we declare our faith, and as we make the choice to say, I will follow you where you lead me. I will follow you beyond apathy and complacency. I will follow you beyond fear and uncertainty. I will follow you because I trust you. I trust you to provide. I trust you to protect. I trust you to guide. And if I need to be humbled, Lord, humble me. And if I need to be healed, Lord, heal me. So we're going to pray and then we're going to worship. I've no idea what will happen after that. There may be a time when there are words. It may be that God just ministers to us. I just want to say, if you need to be on your own to do this, if you need to be on your face, get on your face. If you need to be lying down, lie down. It doesn't matter if it looks like a war zone here. We're not bothered about that. I'm bothered about worshiping God and doing business with God and allowing him to minister to us. And if all else fails, and Joe and I are lying somewhere and other people are, Teresa's always going to be here, unless she falls down, and then Sam can do it, and unless he does, and then Tony can do it. And if there's no one else left, Ken, will you just keep an eye on things, mate? I appreciate that. So we're going to pray, and we're going to worship, and we're going to invite our Heavenly Father to minister to us and believe that he will. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for what it is that you want to teach us about the true rest, the true peace that comes with trust. And we ask that you will help us through your Spirit to surrender to your perfect and good and loving will, and your perfect and good and loving ways. We long for the light of your face and the light of your smile to shine on us. And we invite you to come among us by your Spirit in the resurrection power of Jesus and minister to us to bring healing, to raise faith and trust, to bring peace and rest, to deal with the stuff that gets in the way of us following you wholeheartedly, at peace, at rest, with trust, to get rid of complacency and apathy, to get rid of fear and unbelief, to get rid of impatience and restlessness. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will help us. You'll help us in our worship, and you'll help us to receive all that our Lord God, Father, Son, and Spirit want to bring tonight. And as the rain falls now, let your rain fall on us from heaven. Just let it pour down on us. In Jesus' name. So let me encourage you to get to into a place of worship and a place in your heart and as a physical expression too of preparedness to receive all that God wants to bring.